It's Monday, March 7th, 2022, and I'm Dave Sobel. Three things to know today: the cybersecurity situation in Ukraine, the situation everywhere else, and the very unique extortion NVIDIA is facing. This is the Business of Tech. I'm back after a week off, and the larger story to acknowledge is the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the ongoing conflict. This is a technology show, and in particular, one that focuses on those delivering IT services. So my coverage will focus on stories through that lens, which leads to the security fallout. The conflict is undoubtedly occurring online, with data released on Monday, February 28th, by Checkpoint showing a 196% increase in cyber attacks on Ukraine's government and military sector. Worldwide, government and military bodies showed no similar increase, however. Checkpoint also observed a notable 4% increase in attacks directed at Russian organizations more generally, compared with a 0.2% increase in attacks directed at Ukrainian organizations. Globally, other regions have experienced net decreases in attack volumes. Significantly, Checkpoint analysts also reported that volumes of phishing emails in East Slavic languages have increased sevenfold, with one-third of these originating from within Ukraine and targeting recipients in Russia. Also noted were data wiping attacks against firms with a strong business presence in Ukraine, ESET and Broadcom's Symantec. The conflict specifically impacts services in those countries. However, as Bleeping Computer reported, on key Russian websites and state online portals having been taken offline by attacks claimed by the Ukrainian cyber police force. The release of new malware strains in Ukraine coincided with the start of Russia's military attacks, security researchers at ESET and Microsoft found. Following the launch of Hermetic Wiper on February 23rd, a second attack was launched against Ukrainian government systems on February 24th from a wiper called Isaac Wiper, that from ESET researchers. A new version of Isaac Wiper containing debug logs was dropped on February 25th, a move that could signal the original wiper failed to erase data of the targeted systems, the ESET researchers said. Microsoft researchers on February 24th detected a round of cyber attacks targeting Ukraine's digital infrastructure hours before the launching of missile attacks against the country, according to a blog post from Brad Smith, vice chair and president of Microsoft. The Conti ransomware group, which has been mentioned numerous times on this show, has also been targeted during this time frame, leaking a collection of internal chat messages which researchers believe are authentic and very useful. Despite this, reports now indicate that a larger cyber war is not occurring. Per reporting in protocol, generally, hackers and cyber activists working on behalf of Ukraine have the upper hand so far. The conflict may also impact cyber insurance. Credit rating giants Fitch said last week that cyber attacks linked to Russia's invasion of Ukraine might be a test for language commonly used in cyber insurance policies that exclude damages caused by acts of war. Why do we care? This conflict is the first to include a broadly online component. It's going to be a developing story, and there's no reason to believe that things are free and clear, although signs seem to point to the conflict being localized. So let's make today Security Day as I catch up on notable news from the previous week. Security researchers have discovered Daxin, a China-linked stealthy backdoor specifically designed to deploy within hardened corporate networks that feature advanced threat detection capabilities. According to a technical report published by Symantec's Threat Hunter team, Daxin is one of the most advanced backdoors ever seen deployed by Chinese actors. The form is unique, a Windows kernel driver, which is a unique entry point. The backdoor hijacks TCP communication, thus hiding within legitimate network traffic. A Chinese cybersecurity company accused the NSA of using a hacking tool over 10 years, accusing the agency of using zero-day exploits to mine for data. Researchers believe this may be a sign that Chinese cybersecurity companies are starting to follow the example of their Western counterparts and do more attribution. It could be a shifting strategy to become more name and shame as the U.S. government has employed. Robert Lee, a former NSA analyst and founder of cybersecurity company Drago, said. Microsoft has warned Windows 10 and Windows 11 users that files might not be deleted after resetting the device using the Remove Everything option. The issue stems from Microsoft's OneDrive cloud file service. Could mean files that were synced locally remain on a computer after a local or remote reset, which admins might do before handing the device to a new owner. It can occur via a manual or remote reset from Intune or other mobile device management. The Cyber Risk Alliance released data on the attack vectors for ransomware. After surveying IT cybersecurity decision makers, the top attack vectors were all from outside the organization, with 37% citing remote worker exploits as a critical issue. An additional 35% said cloud infrastructure was to blame, and 32% reported security problems with cloud-based apps. Most organizations, at 58%, paid the ransom demand, with 44% reporting a significant financial loss and 29% finding their data on the dark web. Coro looked at SMB security and found that attacks against these SMBs have increased by 150% in the past 2 years. On average, according to the study, Coro found that SMBs faced roughly 6,300 attacks per day over the course of 2019. A year later, that number rose to 17,500, and by the end of 2021, the average was 31,000 for the year. If this increase continues at its current pace, SMBs will face between 56,000 and 86,000 attacks in 2022 alone. The specific industries seeing the highest growth in the rate of attacks from 2020 to the end of 2021 fell in the areas of transportation with 195% increase, healthcare 178%, retail 149%, manufacturing at 131% increase, professional services at 119%, and education at 97%. Looking at the victims, cybersecurity specialist Vanafi conducted a survey and found that 18% of victims who paid the ransom still had their data exposed on the dark web. 8% refused to pay the ransom, and the attackers tried to extort their customers. 35% of victims paid the ransom, but were still unable to retrieve their data. As for the ransomware actor extortion tactics, 83% of all successful ransomware attacks featured double and triple extortion. 38% of ransomware attacks threatened to use stolen data to extort customers. 35% of ransomware attacks threatened to expose stolen data on the dark web. 32% of attacks threatened to directly inform the victim's customer of the data breach incident. The lack of credibility in ransomware actors' empty promises to their victims stems from several factors. First, more ransomware as a service operations are short-lived, so they look to maximize their profits in the shortest possible period of time. As such, they don't care about long-term reputation. Secondly, many renegade affiliates don't follow the rules set by the core ransomware operators, and enforcing these rules is rarely considered a priority for the groups. Thirdly, even if the data isn't leaked right away, the remnants of data breaches may be maintained for a long time in multiple threat actor systems and almost always find their way to the broader cybercrime community sooner or later. Why do we care? Trendwise, I think there's nothing new here. Clear examples of the further investment in cyber as a war space, and I found it notable the possible change in Chinese disclosure strategies. No industry was spared, but the increases are not necessarily consistent. Keep in mind the extortion data as we go into the next story. And this story is brand new. NVIDIA had a significant cyber breach of 1 terabyte of data, and the hackers are extorting the company to allow NVIDIA's graphics card to mine cryptocurrencies faster or face the imminent release of the company's crown jewel source code. The Lapsus ransomware group has already published a collection of leaked files. It's also demanding a change to the Lite hash rate, which limits some cards' usefulness for crypto mining, or they'll release the company's data. The group has also stolen NVIDIA's code signing certificates, which can sign malware and appear trustworthy and allow malicious drivers to be loaded into Windows. The group has started leaking data after NVIDIA refused to negotiate with them. This particular group is very active. They've also leaked a collection of data they claim to be from Samsung, including significant code across several categories of devices. Why do we care? And here it comes together with the extortion data. These are particularly egregious examples, but that should make them exactly the ones to highlight. Hackers are leveraging these companies' assets entirely against them. These brutal examples are real. I may not like the security tax, but I'll also note I pay it. This is not a space to go cheap on, because the consequences are now very targeted. Cybersecurity for small business is overwhelming. Unprecedented threats, escalating rhetoric, and limited resources. So lean on your community. The Calyptics Community Shield automatically unites small businesses and raises the costs and challenges for cybercriminals by harnessing threat intelligence from our community. If they attack any one of us, everyone gets the benefit with Community Shield. An example, a Log4j block list for scanners and exploits rolled out specifically for outbound events. All for no added costs. By working together, we will prevail. Learn more at calyptics.com. When you do, tell him Dave sent you. Thanks for listening. As I mentioned, I'm back from vacation, and per my Patreons, I am filling in the gaps on things I might have missed. I will talk to you again with more stories tomorrow. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.